Welcome to Get in the Game Sunday. Have you been part of a lot of smack talk in the hallways this morning? I've heard it, I've seen it, and I want you to know we do not allow division, we do not allow infighting at Fairway Baptist Church, except on this day once a year. This is it. You are free to get with your rival and talk him down in the hallway and afterwards, and after that, we're going to commit at the end of this service to loving one another for the next year in a place of service. And so that's what we're here for this morning. This is the Sunday that we take out of the year to be reminded about our core value of share life. Remember our three core values: light the way, grow in truth, share life. Our concept of sharing life is service to one another. It's serving one another and serving Christ and having the fellowship as the body of Christ that he has called us together to live and to share life together in this world. And the greatest way that we do that is by ministering to one another in multiple ways. And in this Sunday in particular, with Get in the Game Sunday, we're talking about our expectation of every member of Fairway to find a place to connect in this body of Christ where you can serve using your gifts and your talents for the glory of God and for the edification and discipleship of our brothers and sisters. We are iron sharpening iron, as Proverbs tells us, and so that's what we're here for this morning. I'm going to walk you through the opportunities of service that you have that were inserted into your bulletin. But before we do that, we want to go to the Word of God in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. Because we want the text to always be our authority, the Bible to always drive and inform everything that we do. And so I want to compel you from the Word of God this morning to understand that service to the body of Christ flows out of the gospel that has saved and changed us. Service to the body of Christ flows out of the gospel that has changed our lives. And so I want to read these two verses out loud, and then we're going to break this text down, gain some understanding of it, and with that understanding of God's word and the Holy Spirit renewing in our hearts the understanding that service to the body of Christ is service to the Lord, then we're going to make our commitment in our place of service. Let's read these verses. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love just as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma. Now, to understand these, let's get some context of what's going on here in Ephesians. Paul has sent Timothy to this church that is having some difficulty and trouble. Timothy is not the elder. He's not a elder of that church. He has this special role of serving along Paul and church planting, and he's been sent there to help give some guidance, maybe as an interim pastor, as a pastor that's coming alongside the elders that are serving there to help them through some difficult things that were going on. There has some false teaching had gotten into the church in Ephesus, and there was beginning to be division among the body of Christ, not over Cowboys and Eagles or what team was great, but over some theology and over some leadership and some different things that were going on there. And if you read in Timothy, 1 and 2 Timothy, you really get a sense from him of how difficult it was, because it seems like Paul is trying to encourage this young pastor who's wanting to quit. And so things were getting very difficult there among that body of Christ. And in chapter 4, Paul begins to inform them about their error in the sense of that they aren't unified in the Spirit of God. Now, I don't believe that that's a problem for our church. I'm not saying that this morning to say that we have that problem. I believe that the Holy Spirit is moving in hearts and minds of our people, and that we are unified as a church in the direction that God has given us and the vision that he's called Fairway to. But I want us to understand where Paul's coming from as we get to these two verses in chapter 5. So in chapter 4, he calls them to this concept of unity, of being one in the body of Christ. Same mindset, same goal, moving in the same direction, all in the will of God. And then he gives them warnings over their Christian behavior towards one another. So what he's addressing, even when we get to chapter 5, is our relationship to one another. Now, he lists some things. You should not act this way towards one another. Division, fighting, grumbling, and complaining against one another, that should not happen. Then he gives some instruction of, this is what you should do towards one another. These are the ways that you should be. At the end of chapter 4, he tells us in verse 31 and 32, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. So get all of the evil out of the body of Christ. Don't be that way towards one another, and clean out the body of Christ. Get that evil away. And here's how you should be kind to one another in verse 32, tenderhearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ also forgave you. And so from that, we springboard into these two verses. Your behavior towards other believers is what Paul is addressing. And in these two verses, I think we find something very compelling that tells us why we should serve one another, why we should dedicate time and resources and great effort into loving the body of Christ in the way that God calls us to do that. Therefore, in verse 1, which connects it to what he says, I believe this is connecting it back to verse 32, the kindness, the tenderheartedness, forgiveness that is to be there, just as God in Christ or through Christ has forgiven you. And so we have salvation, we have forgiveness that has come from Christ, right? Everyone that is a member of the body of Christ, that's a member of Fairway Baptist Church, has professed Christ as Lord. They have trusted and believed in his gospel for salvation. And so we have that forgiveness. Excuse me. And now Paul says, because you have that, therefore, be imitators of God. Now that's an interesting phrase, isn't it? Do you know where else be imitators of God can be found in Scripture? Nowhere. This is the only place in Scripture where the phrase be imitators of God is found. Now you have Paul in his writings in multiple letters that he has written. He will say, imitate me because I'm imitating Christ. Or he will call you to be like Christ, to imitate Christ, right? But here, and only here, do we have him and anyone else in Scripture telling us to imitate God. Now, that's a big deal because here is a Jew, right? He grew up Jewish. He was a Pharisee. He knew all the ways of the Pharisees, was familiar with all the Old Testament and the reverence that they had for God. To compare anyone to him was blasphemy. It's one of the reasons Christ got in trouble, wasn't it? That he made himself equal with God. He claimed to be God in the way that he talked and the things that he taught. And that's one of the things that caused the Pharisees and the religious leaders of the time to hate him. And now here, Paul, a former Pharisee, says to you and to me, be imitators of God. He's given us a command to imitate God, to imitate Yahweh, the God who they revered so much in the Old Testament, they wouldn't even say his name. They wouldn't verbalize his name. He was above everyone. He was holy. There's none other like him. And yet now Paul says, imitate him. Be like him. Well, it's not an unprecedented idea in Scripture. Even in the Old Testament, in Leviticus, you have the command from God, be holy like I am holy, right? Leviticus chapter 20, we are called to be holy just as God is holy. The reference for that is even in the New Testament in 1 Peter. Excuse me, I'm sorry. And so you have this concept of imitating God laid out in other places of Scripture, and yet Paul right here straight up tells us, imitate God. I want you to be like God. God who forgave you, the God who was gracious to you, who extended grace, mercy, salvation, and forgiveness to you. I want you to imitate, to be like that God as beloved children, he says in verse 1. So this is telling us a little bit about how we are to imitate God. Those of you that have children, have your kids ever mocked what you do? You see them playing house? Do you, dads, when you're working around the house doing something, whether it's manual labor, fixing something, do your sons or even your daughters desire to be right there with you, wanting to do exactly what you want to do? Sometimes they're right up underneath you, and that makes things more difficult, doesn't it? But it's a good thing that they're there. They're wanting to be like dad. Or moms, whenever you're doing the things that you do around the house, either whether it's cooking a meal or whether it's shopping or whether it's running your home business, whatever it is, and your daughters or even your sons are there with you wanting to be and imitate what you are doing. That is a beautiful thing, isn't it? As parents, that should be flattering to us, and we should take note of that because our children are watching everything that we do. And boy, how imperative is it for us to imitate God if they're going to imitate us, right? They learn from us, from watching what we do. And in this same sense, we are being told by Paul right here, imitate God as a beloved child. Now, it's interesting that he used the term beloved and didn't just say as a child imitates his parent. He says, as a beloved child. What Paul is telling us is that as believers, we have already received the love, the forgiveness, and the grace of God. It's ours. We have it. So we are a child that is greatly loved, a child of God that is loved deeply by the Creator. But yet so many of us live our lives in such a way where we think we have to do things to earn God's favor. Just pause for a moment and process and think through your life. Have you ever been in a situation where you've said, God, I will do this for you if you will? Have you ever prayed that prayer? It's a dangerous thing to pray. I'll do this for you, God, if you'll give me this. Because we develop this mentality that we have to exchange things with God. That we give something to God and he gives something back. That we do something to earn his favor. That we do things that please God, and in pleasing God, he gives us something. When in reality, in Scripture, what we see here is that you are already blessed. You have already been given the things that God wants you to have. You are his child, and he has already lavished and poured out upon you all that you need for salvation and to live in this world in a way that honors and glorifies him. You are a beloved child. All that is God's has been laid at your disposal. And so here, beloved children are imitating their father. We don't imitate God in the hopes that he's going to give us something. We imitate God because he has already given us something. We imitate our God because he has already called us out of sin. He has already called us out of darkness. He has already delivered us from death and has given us a new life as his child, where we inherit eternity with him. And so we imitate God, not out of the hope of receiving anything back, but out of the reality of what he has already given us. And what has he given us? He's given us salvation. And that salvation actually defines our service. Look at this with me in verse 2. So we are to be imitators of God because we are his children, and he has already shown us this great love. And we are called and commanded by Paul in verse 2 to walk in love. To walk in love means to live in it, to reside in it, to let that be the place where we pitch our tent and stay. That is where we are supposed to be. That is what we are supposed to be defined for. What are the two great commandments that Jesus taught? When they came to him and asked him, "Teacher, what is the greatest of all the commandments given by God?" What did he say? That's right. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. Is that it? No, he said there's another one that is exactly like it. And what is it? Love your neighbor as yourself. God, others, you. You see that priority? God, others, and you. And so to walk in love is to walk in the fulfillment of those two commandments, of rightly prioritizing those things in our life. God, others, me. Say that. God, others, me. One more time. God, others, me. Okay, so we know what God's reality is for us. We know his priority for us. We see that in Scripture, and as believers, we have to submit to that. And so now, that moment where we just pause and we examine our lives, is my life ordered that way? Is the priority in my life my relationship with God, in loving him with all my heart, soul, and mind? Is my second priority, which is equal to loving God, also loving my fellow man by serving him and doing the things that God has called me to do towards my fellow man, are those two prioritized above me? Only you and the Lord can answer that this morning. But to walk in love, that's exactly what that means. To have that priority right in your life. And so as part of imitating God, we put those things in the right order. Walk in love, just as, now we're fixing to get a little bit more of a description here, right? Just as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for us. So you want to know a little bit more about what it means to imitate God? Look to Jesus. You imitate God just as Christ loved you and gave himself up for us. Don't ever take it for granted that there's someone sitting in our midst this morning who may not understand what Christ has done. So would you permit me, believers, to share it with them, and not only to share with them, but to remind you and me as we think through this gospel this morning of what Christ has done. That Christ showed us his love by coming to this earth in the midst of a world that is broken and corrupted by sin, to live among men who are corrupted by sin, who in every way in their hearts hate God. And I want you to understand this morning, that is the human condition. All of us are corrupted by sin. We all desire what we want. The priority is to put me above God and above anyone else. And so we desire our way above God's way, above any other person's way, and we are all about us. And in doing that, we take what God has put, the order and structure that he has put in place, and it's corrupt and it's messed up. And so in that corruption, in that mess, we disobey God because God has said to live a certain way, and we have said back to God from our hearts, I'm not going to live the way that you have said to live. I'm living my way. And in that sin and rebellion, that makes us an enemy of God, separated from him for all of eternity, unless that sin problem is taken care of. And you and I cannot fix that problem on our own. Sin problem in our life is not something that we can change by ourselves. It takes a divine intervention of God himself in our life to come in and to make us a new creation, to change us from that person who is controlled by that corrupt sinful nature into a person who is empowered by the Holy Spirit to live in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And knowing that you and I can't do anything about that, God made provision through his Son. That when Christ came to this earth and lived in the midst of that conflict between God and man, inserted himself into that corrupt process, but yet was perfect in every way. Never sinned, never disobeyed God, showed us exactly what it means to live a righteous life. And when the time was right, he paid the penalty that you and I owe for that sin. The Bible says the penalty that we owe for sin is death. That if we die in our sin, we spend eternity in eternal torment in a place called hell, separated from God. The good news is that is not what God desires for mankind. It's not what he wants for you. It's not what he wants for me, for any person that's born into this earth, into that corrupt nature. His desire is for them to know him. He showed us this by coming himself in the person of Jesus Christ, that we would understand who God is, understand and see his righteousness lived out. And that when we can't make the provision to take sin out of our life, that he himself paid the penalty that we owed by dying on the cross and shedding his blood. And the Bible tells us, Paul himself writes this, if we will believe that God raised Jesus from the dead and confess with our mouth that he is Lord, then we can have salvation. We can become this beloved child that we read about here in Ephesians chapter 5. To believe that he rose from the dead is also to believe that he died for your sins. And so you believe that his death on the cross paid that penalty and that he was buried. And 3 days later, he physically walked out of that tomb, which shows he has authority over all of creation and over death and over sin, the very things that hold you and me captive. And because he has that authority, when you confess him as Lord, when you say to him, I am no longer going to pursue and live my way. I'm going to pursue your ways, Jesus. I'm going to live the way that you teach me to live. Then he sets you free from the captivity that death and sin has a hold of you so that you no longer have to live with the guilt, the shame, the burden, the hurt, and the destruction that sin has in your life. But you are now a beloved child of God and are set up to do the good works that God has established to be done through you for the glory of Jesus Christ, our King. Believer, we need to be reminded of that this morning. Non-believer, never confessed Christ. Would you listen to that this morning? That is God calling you today to understand your condition before him and the reality that he wants you to be one of his beloved children. For us as believers learning to walk in love, we are to love just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us. Now that shapes our understanding of what it means to love, doesn't it? In a way that's not popular, in a way that can be even frightening, can it? If he loved us by dying on the cross and we are to imitate that, it changes things, doesn't it? But that's exactly what Paul's telling us here. To be an imitator of God is to do just that. He gives some further explanation for that. How did he give himself up? An offering and a sacrifice. Christ offered himself up to God, sacrificed his life for you, for me, for this church. To be an offering is something that is given up freely without the expectation of anything in return. When you give an offering to the Lord, or when you offer something to someone else, you are giving it to them in order to bless them that they might use it for whatever that they may have need for. And you are laying it at their feet and saying to them, out of the love that I have for you, I am giving this to you, and I'm not expecting anything in return from you. I'm doing it because I know you need this. You add to it the understanding and the element of sacrifice, and it means that it cost you something. It cost you something. We want sacrifices to be easy. Most of the time we want to bargain and make a deal where I give a little and I get a little. I give a little and I give a little. When in reality, the gospel that we see that drives and informs the way that we are supposed to love says you lay down the offering at the feet of Christ and you sacrificially give it. It costs you something to serve Christ and to serve his church. There is a sacrifice that is inherent in the idea of service. I do these things and give these things up, not expecting anything in return. The picture of the cross and the sacrifice that Christ made for us, molding and shaping our understanding of service to one another and service to the church. And why do we do this? An offering and a sacrifice to whom? Look at the text in verse 2. To whom? To God. I do all of this and live in such a way that my life shows the love of Christ, the Christ that he showed on the cross by sacrificing, by giving up, by making myself an offering to God. It's not done ultimately for anyone else. It benefits others. It is of a great benefit to the church. It's a great benefit to the discipleship and the plan of God. But ultimately, it's for him as a fragrant aroma. It's pleasing to God. When we serve God in those right priorities, God, others, myself, when our service is an imitation of the gospel of Jesus Christ, it is an aroma that is pleasing to God. You know, there are places in the Old Testament where God looked at Israel and said, the things that you do repulse me. I cannot stand the fragrance that's coming from you. And here, Paul teaches us that that service, done rightly, for the right reasons, and in the right way, is pleasing to God. Not that there's a promise. Notice there's no promise here of anything in return. You see that in that text. There's no promise here of anything in return. You have already received everything that God intends for you to receive as his beloved child. You have your salvation. You have your eternal destiny with him. You have his grace. You have his mercy. You have his provision and his goodness in this life. What he's asking you to do is imitate me. All that I have lavished and poured out on you, I'm asking you to have that same gratitude, that gospel that compels our generosity. Have that toward your fellow man. Love others, forgive others, and serve others the way that I served you, pouring out all of myself for your sake. You see that in this text, that service? It's not about me, it's about others. Now, I want you to understand a couple of things. I want you to go ahead and take this out. We're going to walk through these in just a second, but as we begin to look at these, I want to remind us of something. So many times, churches have to beg and beg and beg and beg and beg people to step up and serve in ministries. And here's the truth. If you have a ministry that you're having to beg and beg and beg and beg people to serve, it might be time to cut that ministry off because it means no one sees any interest in doing that. Or the church has a heart problem. I don't believe Fairway has a heart problem. We don't have to beg people to serve. Now, we have to go to people to fill in gaps where we have gaps. And most of the time when we approach people, our people are willing to step up and to fill those gaps in someone else's absence. And that is a great thing. But I want us to shape our mind as the body of Christ this morning differently about service. I don't want us to look at serving the local church as a burden. It's not supposed to be. Service to the local church is something that is supposed to flow naturally out of our love for God, of being a beloved child of God. And every member of the body of Christ should find a place to serve. No matter what it is, all of these areas of service that we have here are critical to the mission that God has given Fairway. And so I want you to see that this morning, is that these are not to be a burden to you. These are to be a place where you give back to God and to this church an offering, a sacrifice that is a pleasing aroma to God. Now, I understand in some of these places, some of these areas of service, you want to see fruit, and sometimes that fruit doesn't show up for long times down the road. And praise God for those of you that are faithful and consistent in serving in those areas. But our mindset has got to be that these areas are for service to the King here at Fairway, because I am being part of something bigger. God is doing some amazing things through Fairway Baptist Church. I wish I could stand here and tell you every little thing that's going on behind the scenes. There are so many things that God is doing in your lives, in families, in marriages, in relationships between parents, counseling that is being given, repentance that is taking place, children that are asking questions about the gospel, who are coming to understand the good news of Jesus Christ. And all of that is happening not because of any one person. It's all happening because of all of us coming together in this vision that God has given us of lighting the way, of growing in truth, and of sharing life. We are one in this, united in pursuing the mission that God has given us. And every place of service is critical to all these things that are going on behind the scenes in the way that God is moving in lives, through our missions, through our services. And it's you. It's not me. It's you and your obedience to God. And so in going through these and asking you to commit this morning as an imitator of God, we're asking you to step into the work that God is doing and to be a part of what God is molding and shaping and creating here at Fairway. So let's take a look at these. Let's start with the children's ministry. Now, here's a big one. The children's ministry is the largest ministry that we have at Fairway Baptist Church, and it's that way because we have a lot of young families with a lot of children. There are a lot of families here that have 3 or 4 kids. Praise God for that. You know what's amazing about that? I haven't even preached on Song of Solomon yet, and there are kids running all over the place. And guess what? There are more coming. Just look around and ask around. There are ladies that are pregnant in our church, and praise God for life. Amen? I told you we were going to grow this church one way or another. And so we thank God for all of that. But with all of that, places a great responsibility on the shoulders of the church that we have to disciple these young children that God has entrusted to us. And to do that, we have to have adults, no matter what age you are. If you're 18 or older, we need you to step up and to serve in certain areas of this children's ministry. And listen, in every area of ministry that we have, we will make sure that you are given training and explanation on how to do these things. And so the first one here is our nursery. Now, as I just said, there are lots of babies here, and there are more coming within the next 9 months or so. And so I thought about having all the women that I knew were pregnant stand up down front, but someone advised I might get in trouble for that. So I'm just going to remind you, there are lots of babies coming, and our nursery is going to need help. Now, remember, any place of service is a sacrifice. What if you would sacrifice, this is what we're asking, sacrifice 1 hour a month, either in our Bible study hour or in our service time, and those that are coordinating the nursery will let you know where the need is, but sacrifice 1 hour a month, 1 hour a month to sit with these precious children, read scripture to them, sing them songs if you're able to sing, and show them the love of Christ. 1 hour a month. If you would sign up and do that, that would be a great help to our growing nursery, and man, we praise God for that growth and the need for people to step into that area of service. The other area of service for our children's ministry is our Sunday morning Bible study, K-5, teachers and shepherds. We have in place a 3-year curriculum where our children walk from the Old Testament all the way through the New Testament and get key stories, 40-some-odd key stories from the Bible. If your child walks through all of these 3 years, sometimes they can get through it twice if they start at the beginning and go all the way through. If they get all of those, the foundation that they are going to have in an understanding of Scripture, both Old and New Testament, is phenomenal. I have been privileged to watch my daughter, who is a teenager now in our youth ministry here, go through this curriculum at a church that we served at in Houston, who graciously gave this to us because I believed in it and I love it for our kids. And the foundation that she has in Scripture is amazing. And I want that for all of our children here. And for that to be a reality, we have to have people that will serve in these roles. We give you the curriculum. We teach you what that role is. We walk you through how to do it. Everything that you need is placed in the classroom, so you don't have to scramble to try to get materials together. You study the lesson the week before. You come in prepared, and you teach it along with someone else in that room that helps shepherd and care for those kids. And, man, what a great ministry to be able to pour God's word into the hearts and minds of the young children that God has sent here. And so I want you to begin thinking about that role. Some of you have already committed to that. You've been approached about that. But this morning, if that's an area of interest for you, you can sign up there. The other area of our children's ministry is Awana. On Wednesday nights, our Awana ministry meets here for the purpose of writing God's word on the hearts of kids and for proclaiming the gospel to them. We are starting a renewed emphasis in Awana on proclaiming the gospel to our children. And what we are looking for in different areas of service here in Awana, you can see them, those that are listed there for the different age groups that are there. We are looking for people who will come in and those that will teach, those that will be there to listen to the kids recite Bible verses as they memorize it and to help them memorize it and to invest in these children on Wednesday night. This is a discipleship ministry of our church, writing God's word in the hearts of our kids so that they learn Scripture and so that they are saturated by the gospel of Jesus Christ as the Holy Spirit begins to work in their lives and give them understanding of that gospel message. From there, we move on to our student ministry, our ministry to students in grades 6 through 12. The listings that are here are very similar. They're all discipleship ministries. We have the Sunday morning Bible study teachers. If you are interested in being involved in our youth ministry and helping to teach the curriculum on Sunday morning, we'd love to hear from you on that and sign up and commit to that on this card at the end of this service. The students do the exact same curriculum that our adults are doing. It's all gospel project. And so we want people who will take the lesson, prepare it the week before, come in and walk our teens through that lesson, boys and girls, and help them get some understanding of God's word as it applies to their life and the season of life where they are as teenagers. Now, another big part of our student ministry is not just committing to that Sunday morning, but being willing to invest in their lives somewhat outside of church, whether that's just contacting them with words of encouragement and praying for them throughout the week, going, if you're able to go and be in part of their extracurricular activities, football, band, whatever it is that they're doing. Go such a long way in molding and shaping and being the gospel in the lives of these teenagers. Sunday night, we have two groups, Disciple 6 leaders. Now, we have people that are already committed to doing that ministry. This is a deeper discipleship opportunity. But that doesn't mean that that area is not doesn't have room for growth. It doesn't have room for someone else to connect. If God, in reading this, is speaking to you and saying, I want to invest in teenagers and help shape them for the kingdom of God, this is a perfect place to do it this Sunday night. Now, what I ask of these Disciple 6 leaders is as far as contact outside of Sunday morning or Sunday night is a little bit more than what we ask of Sunday morning. We really want our D6 leaders to be involved in the lives of our teenagers and investing in them in every way outside of church so that they have a contact from our church that's in their lives, involved in encouraging them to walk with Christ constantly throughout life. So that's a little bit more of a commitment outside of church, but if God's calling you to that, if God is saying pour yourself out and sacrifice yourself in that area, we want to hear from you. And then Wednesday nights, beginning on September 6th, when Awana kicks back off, our youth will be going back to their Wednesday night worship, where we have a praise team that leads them in worship and some of our men that rotate through and delivering a message to them from Scripture. If you have music talent, music abilities, or you want to get involved in that Wednesday night worship, would you let us know that? We'd love to have you to come and be involved and invest in their lives on Wednesday night. Now, all of these are ministries to our minors. Let me just remind you that anyone that would desire to work in either our children's ministry or our youth ministry has got to go through our process of being approved through a background check. We want to ensure the safety of the minors here at our church, and so anyone that works with those in those ministries will be put through a background criminal background check, And then you will be given training on how to work with these particular ministries. And so that's just part of us feeling that God has called us to steward the young people that he has sent to our church and to protect them. And so we want to make sure you understand that you have to be 18 or older, and you have to be approved by the elders after you've had a background check to be able to work in those ministries. The remaining ministries that we have, let's look at those for just a moment. In hospitality and support ministries, we have our facilities team. If you're a handyman, whether it's electric, you know, you can do electrical work, carpentry, plumbing, whatever it is that God has gifted you with, or you're just good at those types of things and you feel that's a service that you can give to God, then this is an area for you to sign up. It's also an area where if you're saying, you know what, I cannot commit regularly to be at a Wednesday night or Sunday morning or Sunday night because of my job, this is an area, if you have these skills, that you can say to our staff and to our elders, our leadership, hey, I want to help the church. I want to serve by giving back, by doing things around the church. There's things that need to be fixed, things need to be painted, whatever, let me know. This is an area where you can do it on just about any schedule that you have. We can let you know things that need to be done, and if you're able to do them, we'd love to have you come up here and do it in a time that will help keep our facilities up and that it will work for you. And so that's a great area if you're just looking at this and going, these are all scheduled times. I need something that's a little more flexible. That's a great place of service for you. Our parking lot ministry, right now it's been a one-man show, but it's getting developed. It's going to start taking off where we have people that are in our parking lot that are greeting visitors as they come and helping our members get in. Like today, if it's raining, we'll be out there with umbrellas helping people get into the church building. It's just a great area of service and hospitality, not only to this body of Christ, but to those who might come and visit. So we want to encourage men and even our teens. This is a great place for you to sign up and get involved. Our Fairway Ambassadors, this is what we're calling our door greeters and those that help us at our doorways and giving out bulletins. We are really working to be more conscious in helping our guests feel welcomed here at Fairway and helping them get the information that they need that may help them as they're looking and discerning whether this is God's place for them. We want them to have all that they need, whether it's an understanding of children's ministry, youth ministry, the vision and direction of the church, but all of those that are serving in greeters, we want to we've talked about this a little bit, and expanding that knowledge and understanding that you have and the role that you're going to have in helping bring visitors and guests here into our church, and also just helping our people. If there's a parent or family that has a need that you see, you would be helping them out. And so we want to just point your attention to that. It's a great opportunity for you to meet people here. It's an easy place for you to serve. Pastor Thomas does a rotation on this where you will be assigned to a particular place, one of our doorways, to be able to help greet people and to hand out bulletins and to help with some other things that go on there. Hospitality, we're also our fall festival and Thanksgiving meal. There are two ministries this fall that we will be doing to the east side. One of them is our fall festival is moving the same place that we had the picnic several months ago, the big pavilion. We're working to move it there to have games and bring in the children and families from that community on Halloween night to minister to them. And so if you're interested in being a part of that, of helping it get set up and reaching that community on that night, you would need to indicate that on your commitment card by simply writing fall festival. The Thanksgiving meal will be the Saturday before Thanksgiving at the MLK Center on the east side. Our plan there is to go down to cook the meal. We may have to cook it here and take it down, but we're going to cook the meal, we're going to take it there, and then we're going to serve it to those that come. And as those are coming in to eat, what we're going to ask some of you to do is get in line, go through, sit down and eat. That's a great way to serve, isn't it? You get to eat. And guess what? It gets even better, because once you sit down with them, the goal is for you to pray with them, to just listen and talk with them and share the gospel as God gives you the opportunity. And then after you finish eating, guess what you do next? You go through the line again. That's exactly right. So if you love to eat, great place of service for you right here. Great place of service to the body of Christ and to the community that God has placed us in. Cooking and setup and a hospitality team in general, there's that. This team does just about everything that we ask them to do, from setting up tables from fellowship to cleaning that up to breaking it down to taking care of the kitchen and other things. And so this is a great way if you want to get connected and to begin to serve and get involved with a team that is just pretty much the backbone of most of our ministries around here, this would be the team that you would want to join. If you are skilled at barbecue and cooking like that, let me encourage you, sign up for that. We always love great barbecue, and we can set you up with that. So the cooking team's ready for you there. The last thing we want to look at before we go to our time of commitment is our worship ministries. There are two areas that are here, our Sunday morning worship team, where if you have music ability, and listen, there are some of you that I've been told have music ability, and so I'm going to encourage you to put that to work. I see some of you already kind of shaking your head, and they're like, But if God's gifted it to you, he intends for you to use it, and you should use it for the glory of God and the edification of his church. And so we want to encourage you to sign up for that. You can see the commitments there, Wednesday night rehearsals, Sunday morning rehearsals, and then here on Sunday mornings. And usually you're put on a rotation where you're not having to do it every Sunday, and so you can work with the team and discern that as you sign up for it. Then there's audio-visual team working in the back here. These are the men and women that make sure that the lights work the way they're supposed to, the slides work like they're supposed to, microphones run well, and we even have a camera that is doing a live feed on YouTube. And so we have opportunity for you to run a camera. Very simple, great place to serve. You can jump in the rotation on those as well. So these are the key areas that the leadership is putting before the church this year to say, we need you to either, one, recommit. If you're already in service and you want to stay there, great. We want you there. If you're looking at these and going, it's time for me to change, I want to shift to something different, you need to indicate that to us and let us know. Or maybe you know you're here and you've been part of Fairway, but you haven't connected and served, and you from Scripture this morning are understanding and realizing that God does really call us to serve the body of Christ because he so graciously and lovingly served us. This gospel that saved us is the same gospel that defines our life, that compels our service to Jesus Christ and to his church. And so that's what we're going into now, is this time of commitment where we say to God, God, I'm giving myself as an offering to you. I'm willing to sacrifice my time, however much it is each week, that God calls you to sacrifice, to teach, to be in hospitality, facilities, whatever it is that God's calling you to. I'm saying back to God this morning through this commitment, I will give of myself that you might be glorified and that your church might be built up. So I'm going to take just a moment, and we're going to have a time of silence. And I want you to just spend a moment with the Lord.